Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes I irritate folks. Maybe you have firsthand experience. Every summer, the elders and I comb through the lists of people who have spent a year or more rejecting the Lord's gifts of word and sacrament. Then I send out letters. To those who have missed for just a year or more, the letter, which varies from year to year, is very strongly worded. It's a clear call to repentance, to return to the Lord and to His gifts. The second letter, sent to those who've been away from the instruments of God's forgiveness, life, and salvation for 3 or more years, is less offensive because it's less strongly worded. It's less strongly worded because it's less hopeful. I wish you well, and I pray that someday you'll return here or elsewhere. But though people may get mad at me for telling them by letter, by phone call, or by personal visit that they must be in church, they're not really mad at me. I'm just the messenger. God wants you to be in church. Rejecting His invitation, according to the parable Jesus tells you today, makes Him furious. Chances are, though, that the anger at me or at God that you or others might experience is just a mask for your guilt and your shame. It's easier to be angry at the preacher than to acknowledge your wrongdoing. But you know the third commandment orders your attendance in worship, your reception of God's gifts, your loving His word and its preaching. You know that to say no to God's gifts by non-attendance is to act in unbelief. But though you know that inside, if you acknowledge that, if you give in to the Holy Spirit's work to call you to repentance, then you'll have to come to deal with your excuses for what they really are. Stupid. Jesus thinks so, at least. Thus, this parable. A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. "Come, for everything is now ready." But those invited declined. One had just purchased a field, and the only time for inspecting his acquisition was during the banquet. Another had bought 5 yoke of oxen and needed to examine them right now. The third had just married and was too wrapped up in the honeymooning to be bothered with a banquet. Flimsy excuses at best, and an insult to the one throwing the banquet, to be sure. Trinity, too, is an unfortunate Sunday to be absent. When Jesus lets those who miss the banquet get an earful of the law, when He picks on their lame excuses. But Jesus' preaching is not for those who don't listen. Those who have departed to field, left for their oxen, their honeymoon beds, their cool early summer weekend weather travels. It's for you, O hearer of the word of God. Your temptation is to feel no little bit self-righteous and smug that you're here today when Jesus rips on the excuses of others, when you could be off camping or boating, visiting faraway family, or just sleeping in after having gone to a Saturday evening divine service for the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. Repent. Is your sinful heart not the same as theirs? You think you're here because you're supposed to be. No, beloved. You're here because you need to be. The problem is unbelief. The problem is that you don't believe what Jesus says about you in His Word. You want to believe the lie popular among Americans that you're generally a good person, even if you give intellectual assent to how Scripture describes sinful human nature. You don't really believe the infection runs that deep, that it corrupts your thoughts and actions irreparably, that without faith in Jesus, nothing you do is pleasing to God or good. Worse, you don't really believe Jesus when he tells you that what he gives you is better than anything else you could do to occupy your Sunday morning time. Sure, you give intellectual assent to what Scripture says happens in the divine service, but your flesh doesn't really believe it. It doesn't sink into your heart. You don't really believe that preaching is the means by which Jesus comes to you personally with his word. You don't really believe that holy baptism is an encounter with the Holy Trinity, the living Trinity. You don't really believe that the forgiveness bestowed through the office of the keys is any different than the forgiveness you proclaim to yourself. You don't really believe that what happens on the Lord's altar week after week is an encounter higher and holier with anything else in all of your life, an interaction with the crucified and risen Christ himself. Worst of all, your flesh doesn't naturally believe that what Jesus does for you in his divine service is for you and for your good. But is God a liar? He declares that this, the gathering of his church around his word and sacraments, is good for you, better for you, and more life-giving than anything else in the world. He knows your sinfulness. He knows the stubbornness of your flesh and your inability to believe. He knows the daily struggle against your sinful self. He knows that not an hour goes by when you don't wrestle with your sinful thoughts and desires, and still, he loves you. In the midst of your struggle to avoid sin, in the midst of your struggle to believe, in the midst of your struggle to remain among the company of God's elect, God comes to you. That's what's unique about the Lutheran understanding of Sunday morning and of every divine service. It's not about you coming to give God prayer, praise, thanksgiving. Those things happen, but they're not the focus, not the most important thing. On Sunday morning, you are not here for God first and foremost. He is here for you, for your benefit, for your good, for the forgiveness of your sins, for the gift of eternal life. God comes to you in his service to forgive you, to heal you, to drive away every doubt, every shameful or guilty thought, every lie of the devil and your sinful, unbelieving flesh. Asking how often you should receive the gifts of God in the divine service is a question as foolish as asking how often you should breathe. As long as you're alive. To hold your breath is to deprive yourself of oxygen. To miss the divine service is to hold your breath to the gifts that God gives. To miss them, even for a moment, even one Sunday, is not healthy. It is to deprive yourself of God's gifts. Now that preaching of the law hits a little too close to home. Who hasn't willingly missed one Sunday morning service? And now your thoughts, your mind begins to rationalize, that's too harsh. Missing one service doesn't hurt. What a jerk that preacher is. He must get paid on commission. Repent. Those are the kinds of foolish excuses Jesus intends to lampoon in his parable. Every time God preaches his word, it is a gift for you. It is an unlocking of the treasure trove of heaven, a lavishing an eternal inheritance upon you. Every time he delivers his forgiveness, it is a gift for you. And it is always for your good. God does not and cannot lie. He loves you. And he is intensely interested in your good. Your flesh is weak. You cannot control your thoughts as you ought. You cannot bridle your actions like you should. Your best efforts at righteousness are a far cry from what God expects of you. Your flesh is crippled, unable to do the works God requires you to do. Your mind is lame, unable to keep from wandering even during one single Lord's Prayer. Try it. Your eyes are blind, unable to see the things of God purely without being distracted by an enemy, a rambunctious child, or a bit of skin. Your spirit is poor, dirt poor. The master sends the servants out to the streets to call the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. Come. Everything is now ready. The Master wants you at his royal banquet. Yes, you. Come. Now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought intimately near by the blood of Christ. Your sin, your innate tendency to reject the gifts of God, to say no, made you far off. It alienated you from God. But the Lord didn't leave you far off. God came to you. He came to dwell in his creation. From the Virgin's womb to Calvary's cross, the blood of Jesus flowed for you, coursed through his God-man veins for you. His life was lived to reconcile you to God, and his death was the payment for your sinfulness. His blood has paid for your sin. For his sake, you have been invited to the banquet. For his sake, you have been compelled to come in. For his sake, you have been brought in. And you are here. Come. Everything is now ready. The feast is here, even now. The Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, gives himself to you in his feast. Your poor spirit, your crippled flesh, your blind eyes, your lame mind, at the Lord's altar, by the gift of his body and blood, are made holy and whole. The host is also the feast. His body, which was crucified for you, is placed into your mouth. His blood, which was shed to cover over your sins, is poured down your throat. The feast is free and it's frequent. It is the source of your life, both now and eternally. The church lives from the altar. Come. Everything is now ready. This is for you, for your good, for your comfort, for the forgiveness of your sins. Come. For everything is now ready. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.